to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
So this month, like I said, we've been talking about next. The title of the series has been called What's Next. We're going to end it today. And during this series, I've laid out what I believe to be God's instructions for us to prepare ourselves for this upcoming year, or for this year that we're in, which is 2021. And we're now at the end of the second month, getting ready tomorrow to begin the third month of this year. And so there's some things that I believe God has given us to help us to prepare and to navigate through this year. Last year, we had a really rough year. This year, we started off experiencing some of the things that we experienced last year, even on an elevated level. I just believe that things are not over yet, and we need to be prepared for whatever it is that is to come. And I believe God has given us some instructions. And that main instruction that I believe God has given us is to get our provisions ready. And we've been talking about the story with Joshua, when he took over the reins of Moses and became the leader of the nation of Israel. And as God appointed him the leader, there are some things that God gave him as instructions on being the leader and to lead the people across the Jordan River. And one of those things was, he said in the very beginning, one of the very first instructions that God gave Joshua, he said, tell the people to get their provisions ready. And so I truly believe that God is telling us, get our provisions ready right now as we are in the early part of this year. Get our provisions ready, because our provisions are going to be the things that's going to be necessary to sustain us and to help us to navigate through this year for whatever is to come. And the first instruction in that in getting our provisions ready, and that is for our men to take a stronger leadership role in their families and in the church. And number two is that we need to stay healthy. Number three is that we need to reduce personal debt. Number four is to build an arsenal. And number five is to get involved in politics on the local level. And so in this last message for this series, which is titled No More Shame, we're still talking about Joshua. And again, remind us that Joshua was appointed by God as the leader of the nation of Israel to lead them across, at least at this specific time, to lead them across the Jordan River into the land that he had promised to Moses and to the nation of Israel long ago. And that is what we say the promised land. It is the promised land, not the promised land, but the promised land. So last week we saw that Joshua, they are in the process now of stepping into the Jordan River. And as they stepped into the Jordan River, Joshua appointed 12 leaders to carry the Ark of the Covenant. They stepped out into the river. And when they stepped out into the river began to back up and it began to stop. The land dried up just like it did. Well, not exactly like it did, but very similar to the situation when Moses and the nation of Israel were at the Dead Sea and Pharaoh's army was at their backs coming to destroy them. And God stopped them. And then he parted the Red Sea, so that they can cross over on dry land. Here's another situation where people who witnessed that situation with Moses, when God split the Red Sea and they walked across, you got some people that are still living who experienced that very first event, who are now experiencing and seeing God do it for the second time with the Jordan River. And so those 12 went out there into the river, stood there, and the river stopped, the land dried up, the people all crossed over to the other side of the Jordan River. And when they did that, last week we saw that Joshua instructed those 12 leaders all to grab a stone from the riverbed, bring it to the land, and then they were going to build a memorial. So they resurrected a memorial there and said that this is going to be a memorial so that in the future, when your children see this, they will ask, what do these stones mean? And so last week we were talking about how it's important for us, especially as men and as leaders, to make sure that we are leaving a legacy for our children so that one day they will look back on the things that we did in our lives especially during a pivotal time in history like we're in today, the things that we've been experiencing over the last year and still experiencing now are going to be written down in the history books. I shared last week how this pandemic that we're experiencing is going to be written down in the history books. This past election that we just experienced is going to be written down in the history books. The insurrection of the nation's capital going to be written down in the history books. You know, this whole new vaccine, all these new vaccines for COVID, all this stuff is going to be written down in the history books. And here we are at a pivotal time in history where we could do something that will leave a, oh yeah, Margaret, get that for me. We can do something that is going to leave a legacy so that our children and their children will look back on this time during history and they will be able to say, what do this stone or what happened during this time in life? And we'll be able to say, this is what happened and this is the role that we played or this is what we did or experienced during this time. And hopefully our goal, our desire, God's desire is that we would show and we would have something to say. This was a time where we stood shoulder to shoulder with God and we followed the instructions that he gave us. And that was to get our provisions ready and those other five things, those specific five things that I just laid out to you. So that was just a review, a recap of the entire series. And we're going to go ahead and end it today. And we're going to end it in chapter 4. Now, this whole story of the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River, it's so much more to it. It's a great story. It continues on and on, but we're not going to go through the entire story. We're going to end it here today in chapter 4. And with one small, simple verse, There is so many small, simple verses throughout this whole book of Joshua that you could preach on, teach on, be inspired, encouraged on for, you know, a very long time. So just one small, and that's verse number 9. In chapter 4, and that verse says, now this is after the children or the nation of Israel have crossed the Jordan, after the 12 leaders, those 12 priests that was carrying the Ark of the Covenant, after they got their 12 stones and they resurrected this memorial. And after this, so after all of this took place, now here they are, they're settling and getting themselves comfortable on the other side of the Jordan. And here in verse 9, let me share something else with you. So after they crossed, there were some things that Joshua did with the people before actually going and possessing one of the places that they were very close to was Jericho. Jericho was the first city that they was approaching that was a part of the promised land that God had given them. And so one of the things that Joshua did is he reestablished ceremonies that the Israelites had taken on in their culture, not only in their culture, but also in their religion. And I say religion because a lot of these ceremonies were established by God. Okay. So these things were not just a part of their culture, but they was also a part of their religion. And one of those things was circumcision. So remember, the children of Israel, after they had been released out of slavery, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. There were several times they experienced some times where they kind of just turned their, well, not kind of, they did turn their back away from God. There was a time where God had destroyed a whole bunch of them because of their rebellion, their continuous rebellion. There was a time where Moses stood and he was at a place where God's anger and his wrath was coming down on them. And I believe there was something like 400 people died that day. The earth opened up and they just fell into the crack and died. There was times where there was, even in those 40 years, even after witnessing the miracles and the deliverance that God did for them, they still were turning their backs away from God and pushing him to a place of anger and causing their own self-destruction. And so these people, for 40 years, all of these people, so here we are at a time now, over 40 years later, where some of those people, a lot of those people are no longer alive. So we are now moving into a whole new generation, okay? So just imagine right now, your age that you're in right now, and the children of Israel, they wander around after being released out of slavery for 40 years, and now they're at this place where they have actually crossed over the Jordan River. They're on the other side, and they can actually see the land that was promised to them. They're not in that land yet, but they can actually see it. And Joshua is preparing them to go possess this land. Some of their ceremonies, some of their religious and spiritual ceremonies, Joshua is reestablishing these things with them. So a whole generation is gone. They done either died out, they was destroyed because of their rebellion or whatever, maybe because of old age or whatever, okay? 40 years. Brianna's not even 40 years. So Brianna, think about this in your lifetime. Who's on here less than 40 years old? Raise your hand. That's you know, I'm 53 years old, 52, 53 years old. You know, so that means 13 years old for me. You know, that the time that I would have been able to cross over the Red Sea being delivered out of slavery, out of Egypt. Okay, so that makes me, puts me at this age now where we're crossing the Jordan River. I'm now 53. I was 13 when we crossed the Red Sea. Now I'm 53 and we're getting ready to cross the Jordan, a whole generation. So what had happened was those men that were the soldiers, those men that were established as the soldiers when they first came up out of Egypt, their warriors, okay, their army, they had all died off. And one of the religious ceremonies or things that they did was to circumcise the men, the young men, circumcise the boys, okay? So by the time Joshua now had them at this place that they have crossed the Jordan River, all those men that had been circumcised, all those warriors, they'd all died out. So you got now a whole lot of young boys that have grown up now into young men that was born in the wilderness, okay? They weren't born in Egypt. They never experienced Egypt yet. They were born in the wilderness. And during this time, there were so many other things that they was focused on that some of their religious ceremonies, they just kind of put them to the side. Circumcision was one of them. And so you got a lot of young men now who are being prepared for battle so that they can go take this land that God had told them that was their land, but they'd never been circumcised before. So one of the things they did is Joshua said, okay, we got to circumcise all these men. So he circumcised all of the men. And then it said that they stayed there. They rested there in that place that they were at until they all healed up. Now, so here in verse 9, we're past that place. All these men have been circumcised and they have all been healed up, okay? It says here in verse 9, then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt so that the place has been called Gilgal to this day. Okay, so Gilgal, in the research of Gilgal, there's a lot of theologians, a lot of scholars, a lot of archaeologists and different things like that. There's been multiple places throughout the territory or the region of Jericho, the region of Israel, and in that area, there's been several locations found and also mentioned in the Bible that's called Gilgal. And so this was the very first one. And what this was this was a circle of stones. So there's multiple circle of stone areas in these encampment areas that archaeologists have actually found and discovered. And within those camp areas, they found these circle of stones. And these circles of stones, you know, researching the Bible and finding these locations in the Bible actually match up to or come very close to the locations that archaeologists have actually found. So Joshua called this place Gilgal, which means in the Hebrew language, it means circle of stones. Remember those 12 took those stones and they made a memorial? And they built the memorial, so it's believed that memorial they built was a circle of stones. But here's what we're going to focus on today. And I want to ask the question, that is, what is your shame of slavery? You know, the Lord said to him, then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt. So here we are, a little bit over 40 years later, where they have been delivered out of slavery. And today is the day that God rolls away their shame of slavery. So my question to you today is, what is your shame of slavery? The story of the nation of Israel was they were slaves in Egypt. Even though their exodus from slavery out of Egypt had taken place over 40 years ago, they still had this shame of slavery on them. You know, there are some times in our lives where that God has long released us from. There's things in our lives that we've experienced that God has long delivered us from, that we have been, you know, it's in our past, but we still have the shame of that thing in our lives. You know, we can think about multiple things. We can all think about something in our life that we experienced maybe when we was a young child. Maybe something that we experienced when we were in grade school or junior high or as a young adult in our lives, you know, and that thing that we experienced, somehow it enslaved us. We were bound by that thing. And we still live in today as an adult on some level with the shame of that slavery or the shame of that thing, that horrific thing that we experienced at a young age. You know, for somebody, it may be the shame of coming from a broken home. You know, somebody still might be living with and dealing with the shame of a broken home to where they're still enslaved by that thing. You know, for somebody, it might be the shame of living below the poverty line. You know, I can think of in my life, and I know all of us can think of different things in our life in our childhood. You know, I remember going to the grocery store, being sent by my grandmother, you know, with food stamps and stuff. And as a kid, I didn't know I was living below the poverty line, so I was cool with it. But as I got older, I began to understand. And there were times as I got older going to the store with food stamps, I would be what? Ashamed. As a young child going to a store with food stamps, I wasn't ashamed. I was glad because I thought, man, I got some money. But then when I began to understand it, I was like, oh my gosh. I would try to make sure I was looking around and make sure none of my friends or nobody I knew that I was in line. If I saw somebody in the grocery store that I knew, I would walk around the grocery store pretending like I was looking for other items that I'm trying to buy and just trying to give them some time to get out of the store before I actually get in line to go pay for what I had to pay for because I was ashamed. You know, it may be that somebody has the shame of never getting to that level of education that you wanted to get to. You know, you had a plan, you had a desire, man, that you're going to get to a certain level of education, but maybe you never got to that level of education. And every now and then you think about it. And when you think about it, you'd be like, man, it brings a certain level of shame on you. You know, I think about myself with that, you know, and I can tell my story. You can tell your story, but I can tell my story. And I, you know, I've gone through college and I have the shame of never actually completing it. You know, I've taken many classes in college and gone to school, but I've never actually completed. And every now and then I think about that and that shame comes on me. You know, it may be the shame of broken relationships. It may be the shame of divorce or, you know, baby mama or baby daddy situations. You know, we all have, there's so many levels and so many facets of life that we all experience that bring shame upon us. And, you know, those failed relationships or that divorce, some people never get over divorce. You know, some people never get over dealing with, you know, baby daddy or baby mama situations, you know. It may be the shame of a criminal background. You know, there's things that you did when you was younger that you felt like maybe you had to do, or maybe because your friends was doing it or whatever, and it led you down this path of a criminal background. We got people today who are grown and got families and our grandparents that have a criminal background or have a criminal history that still follows them today. And when I want you guys to keep in context the time frame of what I'm talking about here. Because remember, the children of Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years. How long some of this stuff lingers in people. Again, we got people that's on with us right now that's not even 40 yet. That means people have lived with this stuff longer than some of you guys have even been alive yet. So the reality that somebody is still dealing with the shame of the slavery of the things that they experienced in the past is a real thing. Some people are still dealing with their criminal background history. And every now and then something happens to them or they experience something, or maybe they're trying to get a job or they own a job and that comes up. And that's the shame of that just begins to eat at them again. You know, it may be the shame of being a deadbeat dad or a deadbeat mom. You know, we sometimes go through things in our lives that maybe we didn't do as well as we should have did with our kids. And now we got grandkids, and, you know, we're thinking about our grandkids and our kids. And like, man, sometimes when we think about, because we weren't the parents that we could have been or should have been, here we are now grandparents. And that shame every now and then still creeps back up in us. You know, it may be the shame of being a victim of abuse. A lot of people experience abuse on some level, especially as a young person. Especially as a young person. If we was to do a survey, not in here, but if we was just to do a general survey of people, I would guarantee you, I don't say guarantee you because I don't know for a fact, I ain't looked at the studies on it yet, but I would bet that probably 8 or 9 people out of 10 have experienced abuse somewhere in their childhood. And we grow up with that experience still in our minds. You know, 40 years, here you are 40 years old. Here you are 53 years old like I am. I keep saying 53, I'm 52, okay. But I'm about to be 53. But here I'm 52 years old, you know, and experiencing something when I was 13 years old. I'm hypothetically speaking, y'all. I'm using that time frame because of this is what the nation of Israel experienced. This is where they were time frame wise. So you got some men that have crossed the Jordan River who are now 53 years old, and they were 13 years old when they actually experienced that thing of crossing or coming out of slavery. So think about the trauma. Think about the damage. Think about the stuff that they experienced when they was growing up in slavery, that they still carrying the shame of it as a 53-year-old. We all have things in our past that we can be ashamed of, and maybe some of those things we're still dealing with the shame of those things. That shame may have put fear in you that has prevented you from being all that you can be or all that you want to be. It may have convinced you that you can't be any better than what you are. It may have convinced you that, you know, what you have is what you deserve. Where you at right now in your life, you're there because that's what you deserved. It's that shame of slavery that has convinced you of that. Maybe you've lived with it for so long that you have just accepted it, that this is the life that was given to you. So, oh, well, these are the cards that I was dealt. This is my life. You know, some people are born into, you know, fame and wealth and riches. And some people are born into poverty, which is real, which is true. But it does not mean, just because you was born in a place or in a situation does not mean that you have to stay there. There are many people who were born into poverty and now famous and rich and wealthy. There are many people who was born into rich and wealth and fame who are now living in poverty. Maybe you know, you believe the lie that was given to you for so long that you have accepted the lie as now being the truth. God wants you to know that no longer, or he wants you to know that you no longer have to live with the shame of slavery. After 400 years of slavery, the nation of Israel, and over 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness, the nation of Israel were now on the other side of the Jordan River. They're now out of slavery. They are now living in total freedom. They are now across the Jordan River, and they can actually see the promise that God gave to them. And God is saying that this is the day. This is the day. Amen. Today is a, take a moment to look back from your life, over your life, from where you came from. That broken home that you came from. Guess what? You're still here. You know, when I think about that statement, I think about a movie which is a true story of a young man's life, and that's Antoine Fisher. You know, some of you, if you've seen that movie before, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen Antoine Fisher, go look at Antoine Fisher. It's a very inspiring movie, a true story about a young man. You know, that broken home that he came from, he's still here. You know, even though you've been living below the poverty line, you still manage somehow to take care of your family and yourself. You know, I don't know. I think about, you know, my grandmother, Maria. I don't know how she did some of the stuff that she did. How does she take care of us? You know, I saw her work, you know, to her bones. I saw her work herself to death. But how does she take care of all of us, man, and just provide for us the way that she did? And when she ain't have nothing, but somehow she was still able to do it. You know, that has to be a witness, you know, of the goodness of God. You know, even though you never reached that level of education that you wanted to, somehow you still managed to move forward. Somehow you still managed to progress. Somehow you still managed to continue to move forward. You may not be at the place that you wanted to be at, that you hoped to be at, but you're still moving forward. The fact that you did not reach that level of education that you wanted to reach has not caused you to go backwards, but you're still moving forward. Those failed relationships that almost destroyed you, but look at you now. You know, that divorce almost destroyed you. That boyfriend or that girlfriend that you were so in love with broke your heart. You know, some people go through relationship situations and it even brings them to a place of being suicidal. You know, those failed relationships that you've experienced, you are still here. Look at you now. Look at you now. Who's that? Kumo D said, how you like me now?
How you like me now?
You know. What you put that criminal life behind you. You're not doing that, living that criminal life anymore. You put it behind you. And you know, it reminds me of my daughter. She has a clothing line. It's called TDLA. And TDLA, for those of you that don't know what that means, it means trapping don't last always. And for those of you that don't know what trapping means, in a nutshell, it means selling drugs, you know, out there hustling, doing illegal stuff. Trapping don't last always. So somehow, somewhere in her life, she realized from, you know, her circle of friends that she was hanging out with, she realized that this life don't last always. At some point, man, you got to realize, you got to wake up and you got to realize this ain't the ticket. This is not the ticket. And so that criminal life, you know, you left it behind you. You realized that trapping don't last always. And you are a survivor. You look at yourself now, you're a survivor of abuse. You're a survivor. That's a key word. You are a survivor of abuse. That's a testimony. That's a testimony to say you are a survivor. Ooh, excuse me, y'all. You are a survivor. You know, there's people say, I'm a survivor of cancer. Or I'm a survivor of breast cancer. When we hear people say that, they are rejoicing in saying that. They feel good about saying that. They are inspired. They are proud to say, man, I am a survivor of breast cancer. You know, if you experienced abuse in your life, that shame of slavery, God wants to roll that away. And he wants you to be able to say, I'm a survivor of abuse. And saying that with total confidence, saying that with excitement, saying that, Like, man, I'm ready. I want to just tell the whole world, I'm a survivor of abuse. Yes, I am. Janelle, if you're still on here, I want to thank you so much for yesterday, that video that you shared with us in the family group yesterday. I mean, as soon as I got that thing, I turned it on and I watched it and listened to it while I was cleaning the house. And I watched the whole thing. And then even after that one went off, it just kept other videos from Tyler Perry just kept rolling through it. About 2-3 hours, that's all I was listening to, was just all these encouraging and inspiring messages from Tyler Perry and the things that he experienced in his life. And he talked about one of the things is one of his interviews with Oprah Winfrey, which was the very first time that he talked about the abuse that he experienced as a young boy at the hands of his father, who suffered from alcohol abuse. And because of his things that his father experienced in life, it became some things that Tyler Perry experienced as a young boy. And Oprah, one of the questions that Oprah asked him, she said, why did it take you so long to talk about this? Why now are you just coming out and talking about this? He said, I wanted to talk about this a long time ago. He said, but I could not talk about it when my mother was still alive because I did not want my mother to relive those events. He said, now that my mother is gone, I can talk about it. And he talks about it. He says, I'm a survivor of abuse. And when he says it with no sense of shame whatsoever, but with a sense of total freedom. And that's what God wants us to know, that today, you know, when you look back over your life, you know, you have reason to rejoice. God wanted the nation of Israel to be, he wanted them to be able to look at the Jordan River. Look at it. You was on the other side of that river at one point, but here you now, you're on the other side now. Look back at that river. On the other side of that river, beyond, you know, that just down the way is what? Egypt. Not far. Not far at all. I mean, you could almost a stone's throw is Egypt. Look, that, remember, y'all was enslaved there for 400 years. Look, now, you're on the other side of the Jordan now. And now that you're on the other side of the Jordan, look, and you can see the promised land. He said, today is the day that I'm rolling the shame of slavery away. And so God wants you to know that you no longer have to live with that shame anymore. Those things that you had, that or those things that was in your past that kept you enslaved and kept you living a life of shame, he wants to roll those things away.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast on Facebook and YouTube next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.